Well, as we mentioned last week and this morning, we want to think tonight about the 30th anniversary of the Falklands War. The 30th anniversary of the Falklands War. Maybe you say, well, why didn't you speak about it earlier in the year, around the time whenever the battle actually took place? You see, the battle lasted for 74 days. It began on the 2nd of April 1982. It lasted until the 14th of June, 74 days in the year 1982. So ideally, I would like to have preached on it back earlier in the year. But then you had so much. There was the Titanic anniversary. There was the Queen's Diamond Jubilee. There was the Olympics. It just seemed to be one thing after another. And so we didn't get round to speaking about the anniversary of the Falklands War and remembering the great sacrifice that was made. And we need to keep that before us tonight. We live in a world where people don't realize the great sacrifice that has been made in the past. And remember that there were over 200 British soldiers who died in the Falklands conflict, and they sacrificed their lives for the cause of freedom. And I want to say tonight that they're worthy of our respect and our remembrance. So we're going to look at it tonight. I didn't want to let 2012 disappear into the ether, as it were, without remembering the 30th anniversary of this war. I didn't want it just to disappear into history without remembering something of the sacrifice that was made by the soldiers 30 years ago. So that's the reason why, at a family service, that's the reason why we're thinking about the Falklands War. You know, there's so much that we could say about it tonight, so many spiritual lessons that even come to us. But I want to draw your attention to a text of Scripture. And we read it tonight. It's found in Isaiah chapter 42. And it's verse 12. And if you were to go to the Falkland Islands tonight, and you were to go to the memorial for the British soldiers that's found there, you would be able to read this text of Scripture. Give glory unto the Lord, and declare his praise in the islands. Now that's very appropriate. Declare his praise in the islands. You see, the Falkland Islands are made up of two main islands. There's the East Falklands and the West Falklands. I know there are, there are quite a lot of tiny little islands, but mainly it's two major islands there. And this text of Scripture, it tells us to declare the Lord's praise in the islands. You see, I believe what happened 30 years ago was a great victory that the Lord brought about. You know, there's a lovely phrase in 1 Samuel. It's to do with the story of Jonathan and David and how they fought against the Philistines and defeated the Philistines. And there's a lovely little phrase there, and it's simply this. The Lord wrought a great victory. The Lord wrought a great victory. You know, I believe that 30 years ago, the Lord wrought a great victory. Think with me tonight, first of all, about the invasion. The invasion. You see, on the Friday, the 2nd of April, 1982, the Argentine forces invaded the Falkland Islands. And they were attempting to take over the islands and to wrest the islands from the British authorities. But you know, friends, whenever I think about the invasion that took place 30 years ago, I think of another invasion. And it didn't take place 30 years ago. It took place 6,000 years ago. And we're thinking about Genesis chapter 3. And it tells us, you see, in the very first verse of Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. The old serpent, the one who had rebelled against God in heaven and had been cast out of heaven, he came down to this earth and he came down to the Garden of Eden and he surveyed God's wonderful creation. It was perfect. It was without blemish. There was nothing impure. There was no imperfection in God's wonderful creation. But you see, there was a satanic invasion. And the devil, the old serpent, he came to Eden. We read of this invasion in the last book of the Bible. You know, it's wonderful how the whole Bible seems to mirror itself. In Genesis 3, we read of the serpent. Then we read again of him in Revelation chapter 12. Listen to what it says. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. There's the invasion. You know, our world has never recovered from that invasion. You know the reason why you sin is because of that invasion. The reason why you think those thoughts that are unclean in the sight of a holy God, the reason why you spew out those filthy words, the reason why you perform those evil actions, it all goes back to the invasion of Genesis chapter 3. That's where the problem began. And the enemy invaded God's wonderful creation. But you see, friend, if you're not saved in the meeting tonight, we've got to say this: the enemy has invaded your life. Isn't that right? There's been an invasion. Just the same as 30 years ago, 8,000 miles away in the Falkland Islands, there was an invasion. So in your life, the enemy has invaded. And he's taken up residence in your life. And he's holding sway in your life tonight. You're a captive. That's what the Bible teaches. You're a prisoner. Oh, what a terrible invasion it was whenever the devil invaded God's wonderful creation. Not only think about the invasion, will you come with me tonight and think about the intervention? The intervention, because after the Argentine forces invaded the Falklands 30 years ago, thank God for our brave soldiers who intervened. You see, the British authorities sent the South Atlantic Task Force 8,000 miles away from the United Kingdom, right down to the South Atlantic, off the coast of South America, to those little islands. Now, there's only 3,000 people on the islands. It's not a big population. But yet, our leaders 30 years ago believed that those 3,000 islanders were worthy of defense. They were important to our leaders. And so the task force was dispatched. The intervention came. And our soldiers went to the defense of our countrymen. We've all seen and heard of the situation in Israel over recent weeks. You know, one aspect of the whole conflict that has really struck a chord with me is this thing that they call the Iron Dome. The Iron Dome. You've heard of the Iron Dome. My, what a wonderful invention it is. If I could shake the hand of the man who invented Israel's Iron Dome tonight, I would do it. Because you see, what happens whenever the Palestinians launch their Qassam rockets and their missiles into the land of Israel, the Iron Dome, it's like a radar system, and it detects whenever the missiles are coming into the land of Israel, and then the Iron Dome shoots the missiles up into the sky and it blasts those incoming missiles to smithereens. And it protects the people of Israel. Defense. What a defense system. You know, it's amazing how many wonderful inventions come from the little land of Israel. Invention after invention. They're at the cutting edge of great inventions. They're at the cutting edge of the world's amazing inventions. Medical inventions. Medical technologies. It all seems to come from the land of Israel. But what's my point tonight? Why mention the Iron Dome? Well, you see, it's defense. It's all about defense. You know, just the same as the Iron Dome defends the land of Israel tonight, and just the same as the British forces 30 years ago went to the defense of the Falkland Islanders. You know, the Bible tells me tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is the great defender. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world. He intervened in order to defend you and me from the devil, in order to save us from becoming the prey of the devil. He intervened in order to rescue us from the clutches of the devil. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, "And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world." Margaret Thatcher sent the forces 30 years ago, and those 3,000 islanders were mighty glad of it. Are you not glad tonight that the King of Kings, 2,000 years ago, he dispatched his great Savior? He dispatched the great Defender. He dispatched the mighty Redeemer, the one who would come to your defense and my defense. You know, the hymn writer put it like this: out of the ivory palaces, into a world of woe, only his great eternal love made my Savior go. Is he your Savior? Can you say tonight, he's my defender? The devil can throw all his fiery darts at me. The devil can launch every assault under the sun at me tonight. But I'm safe because Jesus is my defender. Can you say tonight, just like the people of Israel tonight who are being defended by the Iron Dome, can you say that you have a defender? That your soul has a defender? My, it's wonderful to have the Lord Jesus on your side defending you. Thank God for the intervention. I want us to move on thirdly, and I want us to finish tonight with the individuals. The individuals. Whenever we think about the Falklands War, we think about certain individuals. We could mention tonight the two brave soldiers who won the Victoria Crosses. Colonel Herbert Jones and Sergeant Ian Mackay, both of the Parachute Regiment, they were recipients of the Victoria Cross because of their bravery. My, tonight we pay tribute to them. We pay tribute to their courage, to their bravery. Thank God for soldiers like that tonight. Aren't you glad that we have soldiers like that in our nation defending us? But you know, tonight, as we think about what happened 30 years ago, I'm sure there's one name that springs to mind more than any other name. Simon Weston. Simon Weston. Simon Weston, when it was on a battleship on the 9th of June 1982, Argentine jet fighters attacked the ship that he was on, and Simon Weston suffered severe burns to his body, 49% burns. Many of the other soldiers on board the ship died that day, but Simon Weston survived. He says, whenever he came back home to the hospital at RAF Lynham, this is his exact words: "My first encounter with a really low point was when they wheeled me into the transit hospital and I passed my mother in the corridor. And she said to my grandmother, 'Oh, Mum, look at that poor boy.' And I cried out, 'Mum, it's me.' And as she recognized my voice, her face turned to stone." Can you imagine what that must have been like for Simon Weston? For his mother not even to recognize him? Can you imagine what it must have been like for his mother not even to recognize her son? Horrific injuries to his face.
unrecognizable, disfigured. John has sung tonight about the Savior's face. Now, I said earlier that John didn't know what I was going to speak about tonight. I didn't pick up the phone and say, John, I'm going to preach on Isaiah 52. John didn't ask me last night what we're going to preach on. But you know, the Lord is a wonderful way of bringing things together so that everything fits together just like a jigsaw. And we're going to think tonight at the end of this service about the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because as we think tonight about that heroic soldier, Simon Weston, and the sacrifice that he made, and the sacrifice that he's still living with, the injuries that he's still living with today, 30 years later, let's remember tonight the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in Isaiah 52, it tells us his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. His visage, his face, it was so marred. Jesus was unrecognizable on the cross. Can you imagine what it must have been like for his own mother standing at the foot of the cross to see that face, beautiful face, that had been abused? The Bible tells us that he was buffeted. You know that, what that word buffeted means? It means punched. Punched. That sinless face. That wonderful face. The face of God's Son. So marred more than any man. He did it for you. He went through it for you. But then you turn around and you say, oh, no thanks, Lord. Oh, I don't want to be saved tonight. Oh, some other time. Wonder if some of us went up to Simon Weston and said, sure, why did you go to the Falkland Islands? You were foolish for going. You made a big mistake. It's all your own fault. You didn't think that I'll be thankful. What would you think of a person who said that? You would say they're a disgrace. To treat someone so valiant, to treat someone so heroic in such a despicable way. But you know, tonight there's people and they're treating the greatest soldier of all, heaven's great soldier, they're treating him in exactly the same way. Every time a person rejects Jesus Christ, they're rejecting the one who suffered for them. Now here's a wee question for you tonight as we finish. What's his face like now? What's the face of Jesus like right now? This last Sunday night in November 2012. Tell me, what's his face like? Is it still disfigured? Is it still marred? Not a bit of it. We read in Revelation chapter 1 that his countenance is as the sun that shineth in its strength. His face, it's like the sun. And it's shining. It's not disfigured anymore. It's not more marred than any man anymore. No, it's as beautiful as the sun tonight. It's shining in glory tonight. As the Savior looks down upon us in this family service, my, what a wonderful thought just to think that his face is like the sun shining in its strength. And John has sung tonight, face to face. With Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be? My, it'll be wonderful. If we saw him tonight in our earthly bodies, we couldn't behold the sight. It'd be too much for us. But you see, whenever we get to glory and our bodies will be glorified and radically changed, then we'll be able to look on that wonderful face. But you see, there's coming a day whenever those who reject the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to look on his face. And you know what it says in Revelation chapter 20? It tells us there that those who have lived all their lives rejecting Christ, refusing his offer of mercy, it tells us there that they will stand at the great white throne of judgment. And you know, it describes the face of Jesus. Do you know what it says? Now listen to this. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. From whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Those of us who are saved one day, we will look on that beautiful face that shines like the sun. But you see, if you're in the meeting tonight without Christ and you carry on in your rebellion, all you have to do is just carry on coming to church, carry on coming to family services, carry on coming to meetings like this, and then just have your cup of tea and walk out through the door, and just, that's the end of it. No thanks. You just do that. Keep on doing that. And one day, dear friend, you'll be at the great white throne of judgment. And the heaven and the earth flee away from his face. You know what that tells me? It tells me that for the sinner standing at that throne, the sight of Jesus' face must be terrible. It must be fearful. It must be terrifying. The most terrifying sight that it's possible for a sinner to see. Our brother has brought before you tonight the challenge that one day you will either meet the Lord Jesus as your Redeemer or as your Judge. Tell me, which is it going to be? Oh, thank God that the one whose face is fearful and from whose face the earth and the heaven flee away, he's the same one whose face was more marred than any man. His face was beaten. It was disfigured for you. We thank God for the soldiers who went to the Falkland Islands 30 years ago. But I tell you tonight, we should thank God for the greatest soldier ever, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you know him personally? Earlier today, I came across a hymn. I want you to listen to the words, and with this I finish. There's a line that's been drawn through the ages. On that line stands an old rugged cross. On that cross a battle is raging for the gain of man's soul or his loss. The earth shakes with the force of the conflict, and the sun refuses to shine. For there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries, "It is finished. The battle is over. It is finished. There will be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord." Still in my heart the battle was raging. Not all prisoners of war have come home. There were battlefields of my own making. I did not know that the war has been won. Then I heard that the King of the Ages had fought all the battles for me, and that victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free.